In a world full of movie podcasts, here is one more. Welcome to Defend Your Movie with Sean Donnelly
and Andrew Fiore.
The time has come again. The champion must end. It can only be one of us. Victoria!
Welcome to another episode of the DYM podcast. It's a whole new era. It's a whole new world here at DYM Studios.
DYM Central.
DYM Cench. My name is Andrew Fiore, along with my lovable co-host, Sean Donnelly. How are you, Shawnee?
Hello there, Andy. It's so great to be recording here on the DYM compound.
Yeah.
We should just steal everybody's thing. Like the Kumia compound. We have the DYM compound. Whatever Rogan has, whatever fan names they have, we'll just rip those off. We'll just do that.
Yeah, for sure. I like your – now I know people can't see this, but you've got a real 1980s radio DJ look going right now. You've got like kind of a Hawaiian shirt. It's a Hawaiian print. V-neck, the cut's very low. You got some chest showing.
Yeah, I'm running a strip club after the show, Andy. But I'll tell you why I have it on. I had to do a self-tape audition at the house, and the part is for a guy who's like a shifty club booker.
You nailed the wardrobe.
This shirt on me, it's like this, I guess it's like a Hawaiian-ish type shirt. It's actually a nice enough shirt. It's from Levi's. It's actually a pretty good shirt. But
it's beautiful.
But yeah, I figured this, and then I put a toothpick in my mouth, and the toothpick always works out great. And
you
love the toothpick. This plus the toothpick was the whole ensemble. And me with I had my balding hair, and I think I really pulled off shitty club owner, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You look like a guy who stiffed somebody for some cash.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Were you ever a toothpick guy at any point in your life?
I think I had maybe a couple of very short stints.
Or any sort of prop that you were working with, or, you know?
Like in my life, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a toothpick here and there at some point. Like, I don't know what. Maybe I had something in my mind that it looked cool or something.
Kind of look cool.
It looks really cool. Yeah, but it's short-lived. Like, I didn't do it for a while. I tried things in my life before. Like, I tried spiked hair a long time ago.
Right.
Stuff like that. And I used to, when I was probably like, I guess it was like 19, I would wear like a leather jacket, which is like I had like a leather jacket that now
I would see
just,
you as a leather jacket kind of cat.
I was like, I don't know what I was going for. I don't know it was.
If you're like me too, I was searching for an identity for a long time.
Anything
that was popular. I went through the baggy pants phase, the JNCOs. Dude, I had cross colors at one point because I thought I might have been black. I went through everything.
Well, the skateboarding phase, that was me for like 5 years. And then after that, sure. I think I still tried to keep that dress. I feel like I always would try to be like, it was always, even now, like there's outfits that I've had that I'm like, oh, that could be an outfit from when I was 19 from skateboard. I like that look better, but not like Rob Dyrdek, not where it's like flat brimmed hat. Where it's like
right before that. Yeah, the mid-90s.
Yeah, right
look.
Before that. Yeah, like, the
t-shirt
the 90s
and the baggy jeans with the skate shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or where now what I was doing, like I had a pair of like green khakis and a black sweatshirt and then like shoes and Stan Smiths, what kind of looks like a skate.
Oh,
look.
Yeah.
And, you
know, like that kind of thing. I was a big corduroy pants guy for a while.
I was at a corduroy phase. Yeah.
And now that is something, I mean, it's been 20 plus years for a pant and a material that I wore day after day. I haven't even looked at a pair of cords in 20 years.
I have a pair that were too small for me that I could probably fit into now.
Oh,
possibly.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where they are though, but
throw on the quarantine cords, baby.
I know. They were like kind of tight. They were really tight. I'm like, you can't wear tight corduroys. They're never a good look. Ever,
no, no. Yeah. It's all thinned out, the corduroy. You get those when there's patches for the corduroy.
If you're separating the corduroy lines, you know you're in trouble. Like if you're making the in between the corduroy bigger, you have to relook at your life. You really have to do some introspection at that point.
I wore corduroys probably exclusively throughout college. I wasn't a dungarees man until my, say, almost my mid-20s.
Really?
Yeah. Once probably I started comedy because
I'm guessing also at the same time you're a cargo short man.
I still am.
Are you a cargo short guy still?
Oh, I'm looking at them right here laying on my bedroom floor. Waiting for me to jump in them.
I was a cargo short person for a while. I don't think I went. I think only several years ago did I go to regular shorts.
Yeah, I still have adopted them because I haven't bought shorts in 10 years.
Yeah, and I went to what?
Now I'm wearing them more, but I am pale. I'm tall. I got these long dancer's legs. They're disgusting, and I would go out at night. I would never wear shorts at night. So I really, even in the summer, didn't wear shorts as an adult that often.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't really have that many new pairs of shorts.
Because
so comedy
I'm still
stuck on the cargos.
Comedy does it too, because you don't wear shorts to shows. So there's the only time you wear shorts. And also, I'm never in a situation where I was like needed them. Like I wasn't going on any vacations or anything like that. So yeah.
Yeah.
So I was a pants guy. But now I'm like, I think I like become my dad. I'm wearing shorts all the time.
All the time. Basketball shorts I have worn two pairs during this last 4 months of quarantine nonstop.
Yeah. I bought a pair of these shorts called Vioris, which I bought them because they kept showing me the ads for it. And I was like, these got to be good. But they're like kind of expensive and I bought them and they're really comfortable shorts.
What are they called? Vioris? Maybe that's
Vioris? Yeah.
Maybe it could be like my cousin. Like the name got lost when we came over on Ellis Island. You know, like Viori.
Maybe you're the rightful heir.
And they wrote it differently.
Maybe the rightful heir to the shorts dynasty.
I was come from a shorts empire and I didn't even know it. I'll tell you one thing though that I still do from childhood. You're looking at it right now is the baseball cap. That's been my mainstay since 10 years old.
I was always a baseball hat guy. Early 20s, I was a baseball hat guy. And then now I do it because I'm balding. I guess I realized that I'm balding more than – I guess I'm bald. Am I bald or balding?
It seems to me that you've been at this place for 10 years or maybe a little less than that. But
no, yeah.
You don't seem to be losing any more hair, I should say.
Yeah, it's like at this weird thing where the front of my hair is like balding, right. And the back I have.
Got the horseshoe.
Deep. Yeah, the horseshoe, but with a little bit of a.
You've really got the Costanza.
I don't have the Costanza. I have more on top of Costanza. Yeah, but I don't. I'd almost rather just have the Costanza in a way.
Yeah, but you do wear a hat well. You wear like that Irish guy hat well. I don't know what those are called. Like,
oh, I haven't done that in years. The newsboy cap thing.
Yeah, the newsy hat.
I used to wear those all the time, and then I stopped because I think everybody was like, "Oh, you're like are you like a Dropkick Murphys guy or something?" Like, I didn't want to like be thought of as like, "Oh, you're like a guy who, like pretends to be some like Irish from the turn of the century or something." You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you throw one of those on, you really fit the stereotype.
Absolutely. But I haven't worn one in years. I've just been wearing baseball hats for years. I still like those hats. I get the duckbill ones, the ones that are like more
right.
streamlined.
I could never pull those off. And now that my hair's a little shorter now, I'm so happy to wear hats again because I was wearing my hair long for a long time. And
yeah,
it was right with hats and it was too mashed down. And now that I've gotten a haircut, I'm really rediscovering baseball caps. And I miss them so much and I love them. And it's so nice to walk out of your house. You don't got to care what your hair looks. You don't got to comb it. You just throw a cap on and go.
I know. Baseball cap's crazy.
Hey, ladies.
Well, you know what? I just looked up, and this is so sad. I saw an ad for Keeps. I'm just obsessed with, like, internet. And Keeps is, like, where you keep your hair. Like, I guess it's supposed to be, like, you keep whatever hair you have. But the guy in
not
the
sure
ad
I understand.
Is like, oh, it's a pill. It's like a pill. It's like a pill for a hair.
Oh.
And I looked at it.
Some sort of hair locker?
No.
I had no idea what you meant.
It's a little footlocker for toupees.
That's where you keep your hair. That's what I thought it was.
They send you like a little tiny like college refrigerator size locker.
Yeah, a little storage unit.
You put your little toupees in there. They have a rack. They have like four racks, and depending on how many toupees you have, you put them on the racks. And it's temperature controlled, and whenever you need a nice cool toupee, you take it out of the.
Yeah, howdy, boys. No, who's ready for a night on the town?
I was always very anti anything to do with hair, but when I saw this thing, this guy was like, "Oh, after 4 months, I started growing back my hair." I was like, "Really?"
But isn't that what you've always heard from him, all this stuff?
Yeah, but now it's not. Now this seemed a little bit. I don't know why this seemed different. It's not.
This one's different.
I don't know why. And then it was very fleeting because I looked at the ads and I was like, maybe I'll get it. And then I looked up further and then they started talking about how like you have to keep taking it to work. So if you stop taking it, you lose the hair. That's the thing. And I'm sure there's like I'm sure there's penis side effects that nobody's talking about. Like, you know. But that's also
how they get you to keep. That's how they stay in business. They keep
you
returning customers.
Exactly. And then on top of that, it said the best time that it works is if like right when you've gone balding and if you're under 40. And I was like, well, strike one and strike two. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to go for that. So that was short lived. I don't give it. Usually I'm just like, oh, I'll shave my head. But now I have my hair a little bit longer and I don't mind it. This is a good change for me because I'm so used to shaving my head. Now I have it where it's a little bit grown
with
in.
It shaves close. I'll do, but this looks good too. You're a good bald guy.
I'm all right, bald. This is a little bit too. It's a little bit too. I hate the front is weird. The front is weird. So, but you know, being single again, you know, I'm a divorced man. I'm a divorcee. I'm fat guy. I'm balding. I got to get rid of one of those. You know, I'm doing intermittent fasting to get rid of the fat guy thing. I don't think I look that much different, but I feel better. That's what I'm, you know.
Well, that's good. That's the first step usually.
Yeah, exactly. So
but you do look thin in the face. That's usually where, for me, when I start losing, you can tell. And I think you're the same way. I can tell your face is leaner.
Face is leaner, yeah. And it's also up here, like it's not. I looked at myself and I'm like, in a picture, and I was like, oh, I don't have as much man boobs. I still have them, but they're not as good. Much.
That's also a tough one to get rid of, too, because that's really requires, I think, not push-ups. Only the diet, but also the exercise, which is like, diet's one thing. I'm not doing the exercise.
Yeah. Well, I think if you lose enough weight, you might have, like, it might not be built up in your chest.
Right. It's not going to be toned.
But as long as if I want to get down below, I'm 200 something, 200. I haven't weighed myself in a month, at least a month. I was 239. I want to get myself below 200 pounds.
Yeah. My idea, when I was really the last time I lost a lot of weight and looking what I considered good, I was around like 215, 220.
Yeah. Cause you're like 6'4".
I'm 6'3", 6'4". And I'm at like 250, 255 right now, which is chubby, you know.
That's
but I was
boy.
Up to 282, dude. That was my high.
282? So, yeah. My high was 269, and I'm 5'8". That's big.
Yeah. And when I was at 282, I was a fatso. And, you know, out of breath, dude. You drop that 20 pounds, my stamina is back. I don't get – I was getting tired getting up from the couch, walking to the kitchen, walking back. I'd have to go –
yeah.
Wait, and that's not a way to live, man.
That's coming back for me too, because when I was to 269, I would fall asleep in the middle of the day on the couch. That's how, like,
yeah.
For no reason. Just in the middle of the day, I'd be in the middle of a conversation and just start shutting my eyes and start, it was like bad. Like, it was bad.
Hey, people go, wait a minute, did you get a good night's sleep last night? You go, nah, just fat.
Yeah, just fat.
You tired? Nah, just chubby.
Just chubby. This is a fat guy thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
So
yeah,
you know,
I've actually been eating a little better in the quarantine because I'm, and this is going to sound stupid, but I'm controlling literally every single thing that I eat from the grocery store. I would.
Oh, that makes sense. I'm the same way.
Because that sounded wrong. People were like, yeah, well, don't you always control? Not necessarily, because a lot of times you're out at a comedy club and you're just eating chicken fingers, buffalo wings. Like, it's not the greatest menu. Now I can literally go to the grocery store. If it's not healthy for me, I just don't buy it. Because for me, if it's here in my house, I'm going to eat it, if it's good or bad. So if I don't buy the bad stuff, it's not going in, you know? So,
well, that's the thing. And
I'm eating some fruit. I'm eating some vegetables. I'm getting some greens, you know?
I'm the same way, dude. I've been doing the same thing. I've been eating oranges. I've been eating, Brussels sprouts. I had some baby spinach. I've been eating, like, I've been trying not to snack in between for the most part.
That's a big one.
I've been cutting back on the bread more than I was. Like, stuff like that where it's like I'm trying to control better, like, what I'm eating.
Yeah. It's a whole new healthy DYM, baby.
New brand, new health, new diet, new everything. So you watched a couple things this week, I heard.
Oh, yeah. I had a hat trick of movies this week. And I say that because one of the things I watched was very hockey-centric.
And I don't think we ever explored this on the podcast. You are a big hockey fan.
It's my number one favorite sport of all time. I grew up playing ice hockey. I played it up until – I played it in college, and then I played it post-college in the city. I started
What
really
position
young.
Did you play?
I played defense. I was a big old rugged defenseman, but I could move. I had some hands too. I was like a Brian Leetch, but bigger.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I love hockey. It's my favorite. I can't wait for it to come back on August 1st, knock on wood, that everything goes right and everybody stays safe and healthy.
And your team is the?
My team is the New York Rangers, the greatest franchise in all of sports history. I love them so much. It's just my favorite. I'm passionate about it, and I'm so excited for it to come back. So I have a text chain with my two other friends from growing up. All three of us are diehard Rangers fans. And my buddy Scorsone, he said, hey, there's a great documentary on Amazon called Valiant. And it's the story of the first year of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They just got a team in 2018. The team's only 2.5 years old. And they had, for a expansion team, the most historic season of any expansion team. I don't know, Sean, if you remember.
They went to the Stanley Cup, right?
To the Stanley Cup Finals, which everybody picked them to be dead last, which – nobody would have batted an eyelash at that, too, when everybody was doing their preseason, who's going to finish where.
I was in Vegas. I was in Vegas when it was going on.
Oh, buddy. And they blew everybody's expectations out of the water. So they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. But what you don't remember and what I completely forgot was that their home opener was October 10th of 2018. If you remember, October 1st, 2018 – was the big Las Vegas shooting.
Yes.
At the Mandalay Bay at that concert.
Yeah, because people were like, they had Vegas Strong stuff all over the Vegas Strong.
And so that made it, they tied that in, they juxtaposed the two stories the whole time. I mean, this was a community that like needed that perfect thing to latch onto. Yeah. And it was just like, this team is blowing everybody's expectations out of the water. They're in first place and they keep winning all year. And it's just like – it was just such a sweet, great story of how this team picked up this community and everybody had something to look at and, you know, that wasn't anything to do with the shooting. And it was just something that
gave you hope. It was meant to be to, like, bring the people back.
And it was a crazy story, too. They lost their first-string goalie to injury. They lost their second string. Then their third-string goalie. It's unprecedented in hockey to – have a fourth-string goalie play in one season. Like, it's the odds against that.
And do that well.
And then they eventually get their starters back, and then they go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, they're beating teams that have had the same veteran players year after year with experience. And this is all a group that's never played together before. And it was just amazing. And unfortunately, they lost to the Washington Capitals in the Stanley Cup Finals. But what a story. A really great – I mean, I was blubbering by the end, but. I mean, it was just such a sweet story because they're doing interviews with the cops and the firemen and the townspeople, family members who have lost people in the shooting, and just how the Vegas Knights just they picked the community up, and like, there were and the guys, the hockey players, they were going out to the community, and it was just a really great story. If you like hockey like me, or even if not, it's just a really great story.
The documentary was actually good on top of that; like it was a well made.
Yeah, very cool. Definitely a must-watch for any sort of hockey fans or any sports fans in general. But that was my first one. What about you?
I watched a couple of movies, but I can only remember one of them. I don't know why I can only remember one of them. But I liked it a lot. Palm Springs. Did you watch Palm Springs?
Absolutely. It was going to be my other one.
Yeah.
Wasn't it great?
I loved it. I loved it too.
Yeah.
I like anything with like time travel. I also find it interesting. If you don't know the plot, it's like Christine Milioti's in it, Andy Samberg.
Both are great.
Who are both awesome in it. And it's that Andy Samberg is living in this, what would you call it?
Infinite time loop.
Time paradox thing where infinite, so he lives the same day over and over again.
It's like, essentially the Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day. He's living in a Groundhog Day situation. And he
wakes up, same thing happens every single time.
He hangs out with Christine Milioti one night, and then out of nowhere, this guy's after him, and he runs to this cave, and he tries to shoot Christine Milioti away, and she follows him, and it turns out if you're going to this cave, you're part of the same paradox, whatever it is. So it's the whole idea of them like getting to know each other, and like they have like a friendship that turns into whatever. I'm not going to ruin it.
Yeah, it was great. And it was so different from Groundhog Day where you go, that's exactly like Groundhog Day. But it was just different enough where you go, oh, yeah. It's a completely unique movie. Here's the cool thing. It was like they remembered what they did yesterday. So it wasn't like Groundhog Day and that where he knew what was going to happen. But they also had shared experiences where it didn't
It's like Groundhog Day with two people. Yeah.
It was very cool.
But also, the weird part about it is they don't bring up Groundhog Day once.
Right.
The whole movie, I thought there'd be like some kind of like, even like an off remark from Andy Samberg.
Yeah,
like, I'm living in Groundhog Day, or just like, or have like a, even if it was like a weird like remake of the Ned Ryerson thing.
Right.
Like something to be like, oh, there's your homage to Groundhog Day, but nothing. Which I kind of like, yeah, that's kind of cool. You're making your
own thing.
I think
that too. I think they knew everybody was just going to immediately go, this is like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Because
Groundhog Day is so good. There's been college classes taught on Groundhog Day. The philosophy of Groundhog Day.
I remember going down a wormhole one time trying to figure out the actual time spent for Bill Murray. And it was just something like it was 1,000 years. Something ridiculous. Everybody's got different theories. That's the thing. It's like, there's really no way to prove it, but somebody tried.
I think they did online, right? Somebody wrote something about like figuring out how long he was there
like
for,
that.
and it was like 10,000 years or something. Like it's something insane.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
That's what it was. 10,000.
If they strung together all the things he did, I don't even know how you'd even figure that out, to be honest. Because
I know
there's whatever, but just off base of what you see, I guess they guessed that he was there for like over 10,000 years or something crazy like that. Which is like that actually makes a lot of sense about why you're suing. You know, that's the only part I didn't like about Palm Springs. The day. It's like the second day or the first day she finds out she's in the paradox, she tries to commit suicide right away.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that annoyed me about it, because I was like, well, you wouldn't do that right away. You wouldn't do that, you know, like you would do it after you can't take being there anymore. Like that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. No, it was great. I enjoyed their journey together. I really enjoyed it.
And it's like, that's the way the movies are going to be now, man. It's like, this would have been in the theaters easy, and it wasn't.
Oh, for sure.
And now I got one more
that I loved, which had a little bit of controversy behind it. And I can't remember if we talked about it or you mentioned to me that you saw it. Did you watch The Hunt?
No, but I want to see it.
Dude, I loved it. I loved it. And this was a last gasp movie selection one night this week. I had felt like I'd watched everything, and I just clicked on The Hunt. I watched the preview. I go, nah, all right. And then I finally went, fuck it. I'm just going to watch it. And I loved it. Becky Gilpin, you might know her from Glow. She's the blonde hair. She's Miss America from Glow. She's great. She's really fun. It's got a great cast. Ike Barinholtz is in it. Hilary Swank's in it. Ethan Suplee. Emma Roberts. Really fun plot and a really fun movie, dude. It was really great.
So I tried out for that movie to play Redneck.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I tried out for Hunters, the TV show with Al Pacino. I think that was it.
Okay, something totally different.
So Ethan Suplee is in it, and is he jacked in it?
No, he's thinned out a little bit. He kind of, yeah, I mean, he's not a slim guy, but he's not a fatso anymore, you know?
Really? Because now, you know, now he's jacked. So how long ago did they film that?
Well, it came out. It came out in March, and yeah.
He does that podcast. He they show pictures of himself working out and everything all the time.
Well, if I'm watching this movie, I wouldn't say jacked, but
all right.
He's got a small character. It's not even really that big of a part. But it was written by the Lost guys, Damon Lindelof and
Carlton Cuse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was.
Yes. And it's a Blumhouse production, which I love. And basically, 12 strangers, they wake up and they don't know where they are or how they got here. And they kind of figure out that they're in this, what they think they've heard of this internet conspiracy theory about how these like left-wing elitists kidnap like redneck conservative Republicans and hunt them for sport. So they think they're in that. And then it just goes bonkers. And it's fantastic, dude. I loved it. And I know that sounds political, but it's not in the slightest way. Just trust you. I think people will enjoy it. It's a fun movie. It's got a great cast. It's well acted. It's got that Blumhouse, like, not gore, but it's like, it's violent, but it's also got that the comedic moments. Highest recommendations. Fiori's five-star pick of the week.
I got to check it out.
Yeah, I watched three great movies this week.
Are you going on the apps at all? You doing a little apps?
I'm dating? Telling you, buddy, I'm on the apps, but I'm not having any luck. It's like I'm fishing and it's about to rain. The fish, they've all gone away. Now they know it's a rainstorm coming, and they've all gone to their respective wherever fish go. I don't know where I was going with that fishing.
I imagine a few people, but every time I like really get into it, like I met up with somebody from one of the apps, and it was just like not what I thought it would be. That's the problem with the apps. It's not what you think it's going to be. Do you know what I mean? Like that's the issue.
Of course, it always is. Even in normal times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Part of me is like, I want to give it like another week, or maybe in a week, because I think I just had a couple people I was talking to, and then I think I'm just going to erase them from my phone.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I've just been on the one. I've just been on Bumble, and maybe
I'll tell you.
Download another one. I don't know.
When you go on regular dates, what's a deal breaker for you if you go out with a girl? Like this actually would be good for any women listening to the podcast. Write to us and let us know what women deal breakers are. But like a deal breaker for you as you're on the date, what do you think? Do you have one in mind?
I don't have any particular ones. I need a good back and forth though. I've been on so many first dates where I'm struggling to keep the conversation going. It's like, dude, if you're going to go out on dates, you go like talk about yourself. You're just sitting there. I can't keep asking question after question after question. And usually that's how you know right away, because if there's a good back and forth and a good rapport, it's probably going to be a successful date. So, I mean, I am lucky because I think if I vibe with somebody right away, it's pretty evident, you know, for some reason it, we either click or we don't. And I can kind of tell right away. But right. I mean, I've stuck it out for a few, but I think the best way is what I've learned over the years is if I know myself, if I could tell something's not going anywhere, I just started to be honest. Just go, all right, well, it was great meeting you. I appreciate you hanging out and I'll get out of there. You know, the old me used to stick it out and just be like, I'm too, you know, nice.
Oh, wait. So how long do you stay? How long do you go for to get? And how long do you get out of there when you get out of there? It's like an hour in.
Yeah, drink or two.
Whoa.
I mean, dude, if you don't know by then, obviously there's exceptions to the rule, but if it's been an hour and a couple drinks and it's not happening, I think there's no reason to force it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The back and forth is key. I agree with that. And the other thing that really bugs me to the point where it's a really big minus for me is if – and I always – obviously, we're both the same type of guy. We're going to pay for whatever.
Of course.
But the only thing that I want – I'm not talking about a insane production. Not even the reach.
The reach is nice.
The reach is nice, but just even if you don't want to do that, because it's kind of like, you know, we know you're not going to, you know, pay for it. Not that we don't know, but I'm going to pay for it anyway. I'm going to make sure you don't pay for it. Just, hey, thanks for the drink. Thanks for the random food, whatever. You know, whatever it is.
Are you dating a lot of women?
Usually there is. Thank you. It's not, but when it happens, like I had a date recently that was, there was no thank you. And then it was also, I would start saying something and get interrupted immediately. And I was like, yeah, this ain't happening. Like, this is not, I'm sorry. Like,
sure.
I can't. Yeah.
Sure.
So you're right. You have to know there's a vibe, but I was an idiot. That one I just talked about, I hung out for like 3 hours because I was like, I feel bad. If I take off now, I have to awkwardly get out of here.
Another woman for who knows how long.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I also am like, I have to awkwardly get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to do. It's not ever that graceful, especially on a first date. But I think you got to remember they're probably thinking the same thing and probably thankful that somebody pulled the trigger and ended it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Should we talk?
I got nothing going on.
Yeah. I have the little things here and there. That's about it. You saw that article that I sent you. I wanted to see what you thought about it on the podcast. For as far as another movie thing goes, that they're in the works. They have a Fletch remake with John Hamm as Fletch. Now,
right.
Normally, when these things happen, my initial reaction is like, "Oh God, why would they do that? Why would they do this? Why? Come on, you're ruining a great thing." But I have zero problems with this, and I'm into the idea.
Interesting, because yeah. I agree. Normally, I'm like, why mess with perfection? I love Fletch. It's a perfect movie. I don't even hate Fletch 2. I think Fletch 2's got a lot of laughs.
I don't mind
Fletch 2 is on. I'm watching it. And Chevy Chase is the perfect Fletch character. Now, I don't know if it's not a remake. It's a...
The continuation?
Because that guy wrote like 12 Fletch stories.
Yeah. Well, that's good then. Yeah, because you can do that.
So it's not like they're remaking the original Fletch with the same story. It's a completely new story. He's remaking the Fletch character. He's going to be Fletch, which, I mean, is John Hamm smarmy enough? Do we just associate Chevy Chase with Fletch immediately? Like, are you going to always think, I'm going to have a hard time disassociating myself if I see John Hamm. Is John Hamm, does he have the chops for that? I think,
remember how we talked about John Hamm on the podcast a while
ago? Yeah, he's a very miscast guy.
But this, I think, is in his wheelhouse. If I had to guess, this makes more sense to me than him, you know, like we talked about him in The Town, how that was horrible. And
you're right.
So, but this, I could see, like, because this is comedy, but it's not silly comedy. It's like dry him. It's like him being Don Draper with a little bit more like mugging to the camera, you know, and being like, you know.
I'm rooting for the guy. I hope it works.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy's made some good stuff that I like, you know, Super Bad.
I also welcome it because the vibe off Chevy Chase for the past 20 years has been you're an asshole, apparently. So why not revamp one of your things just to get your shitty taste out of it? The guy seems
apparently
he was a piece of shit on sets and whatever. He seems like a miserable fuck, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So, but when it comes to John Hamm, I'm like, I can see that happening. I can absolutely see that happening.
Well, I'm rooting for the hamburger and I hope it's a funny movie.
Hamburger!
I'm always just wary of remakes and stuff that, you know, is beloved from your childhood. It's like the goat, you know, we've talked about remakes a million times, but yeah. If it's done well, great. I'm all for it. But it's just you set yourself up for failure, and the expectations are always higher when you're going to toy with something that's beloved, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that'll happen because we had the internet.
Yeah, you're always going to have antagonists. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing I wanted to tell you, and maybe we had something planned for the episode, but maybe we'll do that next episode.
All right, sir.
Because we gotta wrap it up fairly soon. The thing, did I tell you what I did? Well, you know, if you know Sean Donnelly, you know he's a fan of barbecue.
If you know Dutchie.
You know Dutchie with the barbecue.
Oh, yeah. the smoker debacle, the inside smoker.
So you know what I, you know what I
happened with that thing.
All right. So what happens is this. I think I'm at the point where I'm like sick of living in the city. I want to have like a backyard, which I can't have a house anyway. Right. So I can't do that anyway, but I'm just saying like, I'm kind of burnt out on the city or whatever it is, you know, like somewhat. But one of the reasons is I'm really into the idea of Texas barbecue, and I've always been interested, not always, but recently, past several years, I've been interested in it, and always dying to like do it myself, you know, whatever it is. So me and Jason Salmon, who's a great comic, we go to barbecue places together. I was like dying to give it a shot, and I really wanted to do it. So finally, you know, this is like, chalk it up to quarantine craziness, Joe, because like literally I was like, you know what? I could probably get an electric smoker.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Yeah. So the way I did, what I did was I Googled, can you use an electric smoker indoors? And it said,
I don't know how that's, but it's smoker. And Where's the smoke going to go?
Well, I've never had a smoker before, Andy. I don't know. So I go.
Neither have I, but I would have figured you can't use it in an apartment in Queens.
Well, you're way more intelligent than me because I said
I don't think it takes that much intelligence.
Shut the fuck up. So anyway, so I said to myself, I said, oh, I'm like, I could probably do it. And then I'll point a box fan at the smoker. It'll go out the window. Like I was like, oh, I had a whole plan. And I go, it said I could use it online. So there must be some kind of system that I can, whatever it is. And then I looked up by model number of the smoker I got. I go, can I use my Masterbuilt like 1030p or whatever it is? Can I use that?
Is that a Clarkman?
The Commando 8 has arrived, and I'm like, can I use my can I use my Commando 8 inside of the apartment? And five, six different answers on the Home Depot website were like, do not use this item.
big
capital letters. Like, do flashing not lights. Do it. So I was like, I'm not even going to try this. So I was trying to rack my brain and think of people that could use it.
You can return it?
I didn't return it. I gave it to Bobby Kelly, who everybody knows Bobby Kelly.
Well, you know, he's going to get a lot of use out of it.
Well,
it went to a good forever home.
That's why I gave it to him, because I said, hey, I got the smoker. Do you want it? I know you'll use it. And he said, yeah, I'll pick it. And he came by tomorrow with his son, and they picked it up from my house. And then he did like an Instagram video, like making fun of me for fucking, like videoed my apartment building. Be like, he thought he was going to smoke stuff inside this apartment building.
I'm shocked Bobby didn't already own a smoker.
I called him. I go, do you have a smoker? And he goes, no, I don't actually. And I was like, oh, well, would you like a smoker? Whatever it is. And
you gave it to him for free?
Yes, I did. But he tried to give me cash. He was like, take this. And I said, no. Because I was like, I wanted to learn the lesson, basically, is what it is. If he would have given me cash, then I wouldn't have learned the life lesson of what the fuck was I thinking, and I have to be smarter about things and that kind of stuff, you know?
So you didn't even get to use it. You didn't get to smoke anything.
I didn't get to smoke anything, but I'm like, maybe if I move out of the Queens and I get myself in a house or with an outdoor space somewhere, I could use some kind of smoker.
I'll tell you this much. Like I said, I think it found a good forever home, and I think it's going to get a lot of use out of that. And here's what you did. You've now kind of subconsciously, Bobby Kelly's known for having great, big, fun barbecues. You're going to get an invite every time now, pal.
Oh, probably.
You're never going to be left off the guest list.
Yeah. I have tons of barbecue in my future. He already he already barbecued a brisket, and he sent it to me. It looked pretty good.
Oh, God, I love brisket. Maybe I'll get some brisket today somewhere.
From where? What do you got by you?
I don't know. I got to research it. I have no idea.
There's a couple places by you. Story had the one place is pretty decent. I forget what road it's on. But you don't have tons of, you don't have like a really, really good, Texas.
Not a lot of brisket options.
Not a lot of brisket options.
No. But here's the thing, which I've been doing during the quarantine is I have my car and I'll go on a food adventure. If I got to get in the car and drive to deep Brooklyn, I'll do it. What else do I got to do?
Oh.
I don't have to be anywhere. I'll go on a food adventure.
Do this, my friend. Pick your pal up. I'll take you to the best barbecue place in the fucking city.
All right. Which one?
It's a toss-up. Either Mighty Quinn, a lot of people love.
You've
been to Mighty Quinn. And then
I've been there with you.
And I say Hill Country.
I disagree with that, by the way.
What, Hill Country?
I think there's better. It's not my favorite.
Well, I'll tell you this, but it's not hometown. I was dying to go to hometown for like a year, 2 years, because I never could get down to Red Hook. And me and Jason went to hometown, and it's all hype.
Really?
Well, yeah, well, no, here's the thing. Don't get me wrong.
New York City is still not, you know.
Don't get me wrong. If you're a barbecue novice, if you haven't been to a bunch of spots, no, I'm kidding. But like, if you don't care, you know, if you don't care about it, like, it's still good. Don't get me wrong. It's still good. But like, if you compare it to like Texas barbecue from Texas, which is the way that they were kind of portraying themselves, they were like, everybody was like, this is it. This is the best barbecue place in the city. It's not. It's definitely not. It's
God damn. It just made me think of Moon Tower and Cooper's and all those great.
Oh, it's so great.
I missed the comedy festival so much.
Austin, Texas is one of my favorite places to go.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have to go out. Let's do it. Let's make a date. We'll get some brisket. I'll pick you up, and we'll be a real Dutch and Cool Breeze road trip.
Ooh, we can film it and put brisket. It online for the DYM listeners. Sounds good, man. Well, let's wrap
defend
this
your meat.
Boy up. Well, just said defend your meat. There you go, defend your meat. Well, let's do a defend your meat episode.
Beautiful.
And then we'll do, what do you like there, sausage? You like a little cow? What do you like there?
I like it all. I love the meats.
Are you a rib guy? What are you?
I love all that shit, dude. Ribs. I had some sausages last night, some Italian sausages, a little spicy to them. I love andouille sausage. Oh, God.
I think I've met one person that doesn't like barbecue. Only one.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Unless you're a vegan, vegetarian.
Oh, yeah, if you're a vegetarian, I get that.
You're a meat eater. How do you not love it?
Yeah, you can't, right?
If you're it's meat, so tasty you and delicious and but salty, you get these nice different rubs and sauces. Ah, the best.
There's got to be less and less red meat eaters back out there. You know. Also, yeah, if you're listening and you're a defender or a DYMer or whatever we're going to call them, a dimmer. Oh, a dimmer! Is that dimmers. The new? Is dimmers good? Dimmer.
I like dimmers. That's not bad.
That's not bad, right? If you are a dimmer.
I mean, the defenders are the OG, though, so I don't think that should ever die.
That shouldn't die. You're right. If you're a barbecue nerd and you know of a good place.
Dimwits or something, yeah.
The dimwits, T-Y-M wits. Oh, that's fucking funny. If you're a dimwit and you...
I like dimwits.
I like dimwit, dude. I think dimwit might be it.
I like if you're dimwit, a lot, too. I think we might have coined a new one.
I think it is. D-Y-M-W-I-T.
Yeah, I like to it. All the dimwits. Make a t-shirt, somebody.
Oh, my God. You're growing the brand, Andy. We're like teaching a course in social media right now.
Absolutely. Somebody make a logo. We'll make a dimwit logo.
Someone make a dimwit logo and send it to us on Instagram. It's at DYM the DYM podcast on Instagram. Yes. Message it to us. We'll follow you back. We'll shout absolutely. You out on the podcast. We'll shout your site. The Dimwit, D-Y-M-W-I-T. What would that look like? That's so funny to me. but if you also, if you're a barbecue nerd, let us know where we should go. Even if it's, oh, you know where we should go, Andy? I'll take you. Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, I wish everybody could see how excited Sean just got over
I just, my eyes just lit up. I'm going to take you.
You almost popped out of that Hawaiian shirt, baby.
Dude, we're going to Hoodoo Brown in Connecticut. We're going.
I think it's like an hour
and an hour and a half away or something like that.
Great.
Fucking going. We're going in the midday on a weekday. We're going next. We should go next week, dude.
Okay, sure.
It is the best that you'll have in the tri-state area. It's
great. I love it. Dude, let's do it.
Oh my God, we're doing it. We're doing it, and let's do it early next week. And let's have we'll tell the dimwits about it on
DYM road trip. We'll do some Instagram stories in the car. We'll do it at the restaurant. It'll be great.
Dude, let's do it. Let's do it.
Sign me up.
Let's plug our things there. You are Andy Fiori on
A-N-D-Y-F-I-O-R-I with the @ in front of it across all social media. The radio show on Sirius XM is every Thursday at 4 p.m. on Raw Dog Sirius XM 99. It's the Raw Report with me, Liz Furiati, and Jason Shapiro. Fun show this week with Esther P., And Guillermo Diaz, Scarface from Half Baked. So fun.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. What you called? So I am at Shawnee Time on Instagram and Twitter. I have a new UFO podcast called Skylight, which
great
you should
name,
check out.
Way.
I had Jeremy Corbell on it, who was the director of the Bob Lazar documentary. I just had Henry Zebrowski from last podcast on the left. So make sure to check that out. Also, I will be near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. I forget the name of the town, at Soul Joel's comedy show tomorrow night. When this airs, it'll be tomorrow night. We're doing one show at 7 p.m.
Nice. I think it's Royers.
It's like a theater theater set up. I think it's like a social distancing. He's doing like a, even if it rains, he has like a tent with a theaterish type deal going
on.
Yeah,
I did it. It's fun.
Yeah, so please come by there. I'm sure the tickets are pretty cheap, and come by and say hi. Let me know that you're a defender. Are you a defender or are you a dimwit? Which one are you?
If somebody comes up to you tomorrow and says they're a dimwit, then they're a real defender because that's fresh off the presses.
That's fresh off, hot off the presses. anyway, so that's it for us. And thank you guys so much for listening. Please, I can't say this more. Please subscribe. Please review the podcast. That will help us out. We'll do incentives. What can we do? If you get us 20 new reviews on the podcast, we'll do an extra 2 episodes. Do something like that. Like just we have to.
Yeah, we'll
do
maybe it could be your pick or something. We'll send you some stuff. I got stickers and trinkets and treats.
Yeah, I got stickers here too. I got stickers. It's not for the podcast, but it's my communion picture, and it says "fucking funny." My friend made it. I'll send you pictures of my face if you give us 20 reviews. Is that incentive?
Mine's my face too. It's my little logo. So.
nice. Oh yeah, perfect. You'll get an Andy and a Sean, a Dutch and a Cool Breeze sticker.
Beautiful. Which also has to be made a tandem.
Oh yeah, exactly. We should get I'm a dimwit stickers made up.
Yes.
Well, but if somebody has to send us a logo or a graphic for what a dimwit would look like.
Here's what we'll do too. If you adhere to what Sean says, we'll give you a DYM nickname. We'll name you.
Yes.
We'll take a look and we'll see. So I'm Cool Breeze. That's Dutch over there. We'll give you your DYM dimwit nickname. So we'll be part of the dimwit fan club and you'll have your code name. It'll be great.
Perfect. Thank you so much for doing this, Andy. You're the best.
Well, thank you.
We'll see all you guys next week, and thank you so much for listening, and we love you. Bye!